Hello, everybody. This is William Del Pilar, your conservative Latino, and welcome to the Red, White, and Rude podcast, episode 55. Our main story is exploding and far from over. We'll uncover what we know, what's unfolding, and the ugly truths about Hassan Piekert, Twitch's progressive king with 2.8 million followers. Look, I'm only behind him by, what, 2.7,999,000? On July 3rd, he brandished a gun live, threatened and doxed a viewer. He claimed it's a toy, but his intent was clear, to dox and unleash his followers on those with differing political beliefs. And he exposed Twitch's hypocrisy with no ban, despite blatant term of service violations. Then we're going to move on, and you're going to need to brace for our lightning round, the Rude Rundown. UFO mysteries from World UFO Day, Microsoft's 9,000 gaming layoffs, Blizzard's DEI shift, and the collapse of woke gaming journalism. So put down your controllers. You're in for the Rude Truth. But before we dive in, don't forget to bookmark grumblingsmedia.com and follow us on YouTube, Rumble, Apple, and Spotify under the handle Grumblings Media. As you're watching, don't forget to hit that thumbs up button, and like and share the video once we are done. I'm sorry, folks. I got to shift this here. There we go. Give myself a little bit more in the middle. Perfect. So let's get down to it. Twitch hypocrisy, Hassan Piekert's gun incident, and progressive bias. So Hassan Piekert, known as Hassan Abi, is a Turkish-American streamer and left-wing political commentator. He has over 2.8 million followers on Twitch, making him the 21st most subscribed channel. He has a significant following, as you just heard, and allows him to influence a young, impressionable audience with progressive ideologies. This is how you get socialism. This is how you get anti-Semitism. This is how you indoctrinate. That's why I talk about this stuff on the Red, White, and Rude. Parents, you must listen and understand. Hassan's streams on Twitch include political commentary and gaming. He combines it. You know, when I started this, I told my partner, well, this is what we need to do. And he kind of scoffed at it. I don't, because he couldn't see the disconnect. I'm pretty good at understanding the bigger picture. This is a clear example of what I'm referring to in a negative sense. So he's positioned himself as a key figure in shaping political discourse within that gaming community. Some people view him as a Joe Rogan of the left. I don't know. Joe Rogan's more casual. This guy has a specific mission to indoctrinate. He's had past incidents, history of controversial statements, including saying America deserved 9/11. Only got him a one-week ban, using the term cracker in a derogatory way. Imagine some of the words we could use with him. We'd be banned in an instant. That was another one-week ban. Laughing at anti-Semitism concerns after October 7th. When Hamas attacked and brutally murdered, killed, raped, pillaged, took bats of their prisoner with barbed wire, shoving it into them anally, then parading them around town. He laughed at the horrors of what happened. Didn't care. He's scum. He's a bigot. He's an anti-Semitic. He's a racist. He does not belong on the air. And I don't care about my conservatarian beliefs. I'm referring strictly to the terms of service. I once had a conversation with a lawyer many years ago when I was defending one of my former workers. I said, look, they are a publicly traded company. Their handbook is public, and it states this, this, and this there. Get a lawyer. They're breaking their own rules. You can sue them, and you could win. And that's what the lawyer told me. He goes, it really isn't tested much, but the case is there to be made. Cases there to be made with this terms of service nonsense by people who have been unfairly treated by Twitch. And trust me, this is not over. It's still unfolding. What Hassan did was a clear violation of Twitch's terms of service against violence and threats. And it hasn't resulted in anything as of today. That's a protective bias towards progressive influence. The threat and doxing attempt combined with the mistaken identity, because he got the guy wrong. Well, he was wrong guy. This is a serious issue, and Twitch is playing dumb. very severe thing. This exemplifies Twitch's hypocrisy, especially when compared to the treatment of other streamers, specifically conservatives. But not only that, but Democrats as well. If you're Anglo, you're screwed. So Twitch's delay in responding to Piker's July 3rd or Hassan's July 3rd gun incident shows that they care more about his 2.8 million followers. Why? Because the platform is struggling to compete against YouTube. Twitch's market share has dropped from 67% in December 2018 to 61% and shows no upward angle here. So they're hurting. They don't want to ban him. CEO Dan Clancy, he admitted in January 2024 that the platform was not profitable. They paid out $1 billion to streamers in 2023, and they're not growing. So when you pay out that much, you expect to grow. Your trajectory expects to go up. It's going down. We conservatives have learned how to boycott ourselves. Boycotting high subscriber progressives like Hassan, they believe, Twitch says, could alienate the young left-leaning demographic crucial for Twitch's survival against YouTube's 2 billion user base. It wouldn't. You would gain conservative and let the chips fall where they may. As long as it's not spewing violence, let whatever conservative or whatever political platform wants to. Let the power, but don't treat one over the other. That's how socialism, communism. They play the race game. Always white can't say that. Always this can't say that. Or a conservative can't say that. It's always attacking the conservative and the Anglos. I'm Latino, baby. My grandmother was called the N-word. So don't talk to me about, well, you don't understand. I do. I'm tired of people saying, well, you just don't understand. You're not this way. You're not white, so shut the bleep up. That's how that works. Well, you can't. I have a right to speak. Well, so do I. This is hypocritical. He threatened and doxed a viewer. Whereas Twitchy treats, and I don't know these gamers, but Nick Merckx, 1.5 million followers, Tim the Tatman, over 3 million followers, they face harsher consequences for lesser offenses. And I found a trend here. If you're white, you're screwed. Vosh is a white American, Destiny, a white American. He was permanently banned in 2022 for hateful conduct after streaming with white nationalist Nick Fuentes. Now, I support that ban. Destiny, he's just a hateful, spiteful, vile, evil little duck with a C. And that's a fact. He's talked about it. They came across some emails. Oh, man, that guy makes gay porn guys go, whoa. His ban was deserved. But my point is they were treated differently than Hassan. If they treated Hassan the same way, he would be permanently banned. They don't want to do that. Why? Because they're at a point they're losing and they can't afford to lose any more viewers. And plus, he's Turkish-American. It's easy to ban the white guy versus the brown or black guy. Just a fact, guys. I'm not here to sit here and play race games. I'm just telling you the ugly truth. My take is Destiny deserved to be banned permanently. But so does Hassan. Hassan, 9/11, I don't care about the 9/11. I do, but it's the anti-Semitism. It's the doxing, the holding a gun. There's nut jobs out there. We've had two assassination attempts, too many transgender attempts killing kids at school. Hell, Tim Watson's guy he hired, well, he's a Republican. It's an open primary state, and he was hired and worked for Democrats, so stop with that nonsense. So Hassan was probably hoping for the same thing. So, yes, there are racial and cultural dynamics at play here. You can't deny that. The data supports that. Regardless, Twitch is hypocritical, and they don't want to lose those numbers. Now, the gaming community, including smaller Twitch streamers, they're frustrated over his leniency and why they have to walk a tightrope. Destiny deserved to be banned for hateful conduct, but some are bringing his name up. Well, you banned Destiny. Why not him? Let's talk about indoctrination, my friends. Twitch has become a tool for ideological indoctrination. Progressive streamers like Piker, Vosh, and Destiny promoting left-wing agendas. Not Destiny anymore, but he did at one point. So why is Hassan tolerated and Vosh and Destiny weren't? See, my issue is on equality. You can't treat everybody equal. And yes, I want them all banned permanently for spewing hate. You're a private company. It's in your terms of service. So abide by them. That's my point. They marginalize diverse perspectives. Hassan has had repeated offenses without permanent consequences, and they haven't escalated. Each issue should escalate to the point this should permanently ban him. Again, Hassan threatened and doxed a viewer. Is the last straw going to be this gun incident? Well, there could be legal ramifications as well. The history of minimal consequences, including his background, which would deem a racist type legal attack, along with the lack of abiding by your own terms of service unequally, that opens the door for some massive payouts by Twitch, which hasn't made a profit yet. How long will Amazon keep holding on to them before they go, man, we're going to have to cut a cord here? They probably won't, but it's probably within tunnel view unless drastic changes are made. This could lead to negligent lawsuits from the docs and threatened parties. Red flag law enforcement against Hassan in California and New York and regulatory scrutiny if any of this is pursued. And I expect it will be pursued by somebody. Additionally, suing Twitch for not enforcing its terms of service presents a significant opportunity to create real change that a conservative needs to go out and take on. Plus, there's financial compensation at the end of that rainbow. Asmongold and Teptone, they could also sue for unfair enforcement. It's a clear-cut case to create systemic change at Twitch. Twitch needs to respond to this. But they're going to wait till after the holidays. They're hoping it goes away, but it won't. We gamers know how to keep things in the news. This podcast, I'm very small podcast. This podcast will probably see 2,500, 3,000 views, people watching it. But it's growing. I remember when we started 18 months, 2 years ago, 10, 12, 18, 20. So we are growing. So I'm happy for that. Thank you for the support. But Hassan's case illustrates Twitch's protection of progressive influencers despite the clear terms of service violations, while conservative gamers face much, much harsher punishment. Twitch also reflects, and Hassan reflects, a broad trend of indoctrination and bias influenced by racial and cultural dynamics, anti-Semitism, anti-whiteness. All whites are bad. It's not how the world works. There are bad whites. There are bad Turkish. There are bad blacks, bad browns, bad Latinos, of which I am one. But Twitch is trying to avoid all this because they're trying to compete with YouTube. They haven't made a dime yet. And I don't think they will at this point. The battle is on. And Twitch, you are in our crosshairs, baby. That's right. I said crosshairs. This delay, what's it do? Well, it exacerbates perceptions of bias, and perception in the real world is seen as truth. It's not going to alienate audiences, but it's going to pile on and make this louder and give a public PR nightmare for the Twitch, and that could affect political change as well as lawsuits. Stagnating the growth? Yeah, I can see that. And actually diminishing returns for Twitch from advertisers. That's what's going to happen. So we must demand accountability from Twitch to ensure their treatment or fair treatment from them, regardless of what their political stance or background is, or of those who demand equal treatment. I believe the potential legal ramifications will force policy changes. I do. It's no doubt in my mind. Twitch risks becoming an echo chamber for progressive extremism and hate that you see on Blue Sky if they ignore their own terms of service. It should prompt awareness in Twitch, and they should act. They should act to preserve diverse viewpoints and say, no, screw you, leftists, because leftists aren't going to leave. Where are they going to go? They're going to go there or a few handful of others. But they're going to stay on Twitch as long as their viewpoint gets presented. That's just how life works. We got to stop gaming being a tool for indoctrination. We conservatives were once punching bags, but we've done what human nature dictates is an inevitability. We're fighting back, and we've learned to cancel and directly impact conglomerates' bottom line. That's revenue generation. You've been forewarned, Twitch. You've been forewarned. All right. That's the main story of today. Let's get down and dirty, the rude rundown. So Microsoft's gaming shakeup, layoffs, cancellations, and controversy. So the gaming industry is facing significant downturn with Microsoft's layoffs of 9,000 employees and cancellations of high-profile projects. And that includes Perfect Dark, which I'm okay getting canceled. 7 years in development hell is what I read. Their last iteration was underwhelming, to be polite. Its heyday was in the 90s when technology was limited and it was a cool game at the time. It's past its prime. So I'm okay with it. And then something called Everwild. But what this is reflecting is a broader trend of AAA games, studio consolidation. After years of aggressive acquisitions, including the $75 billion Activision Blizzard buyout, they're consolidating. They're got the same jobs across five studios. The development time, despite all this extra manpower, is getting longer and longer. So they got a lot of work to streamline and reorganize and compete with the East that is doing it on smaller budgets, creating AAA game style payouts on smaller budgets and smaller staff. We have a laziness and entitlement problem here. Data from the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services shows that Microsoft applied for 14,200 H-1B visas. Yet they let 9,000 go. Now, this is over the last few years. Just this year alone, nearly 200 H-1B visas and 300 renewals. Almost 500 jobs there. It's not like 500 jobs. No, those are 500 American jobs. Then with the foreigners, with Americans who are qualified for them. And H-1B visas aren't supposed to do that. It's supposed to only be for jobs that they can't find qualified Americans to do. Well, that's not free market. Yes, it is. You protect your country first. And the free market has nothing to do with the hiring. This is corporate cronyism where they're using the government to hire cheaper labor. This isn't free market capitalism. It's an abuse of it. It's a repugnant atrocity they call free market. How many times do I have to say this? Industry analysts suggest that these cuts target overstaffed legacy areas, which is what I just said. They're overbloated. Too many of the same jobs across many studios. Includes Xbox, again, Blizzard, Activision. This money will also allow them to refocus on AI, cloud computing. And that's a 2023 to 2025 shift where they invested $80 billion in AI infrastructure. The problem is Xbox or Game Pass is stagnating. They're not getting the numbers. They're probably going to be looking at, well, we don't want to do away with that, but we got to turn the budget somewhere with these jobs and manpower, the unnecessary manpower. Games aren't selling because they're also woke. Overemphasis on diversity, equity, and inclusion. Woke games. We know how to boycott now. We know how to review. We know how to look for the telltale signs. And if you're going to have that crap, we're going to go buy a AA game. Worked on by a smaller studio who just wants to give us a great game, not a political message of lies. Leadership is framing this as a strategic move for enduring success. They always say crap like that. Always. But it is an industry reset. Microsoft, again, their AI investment, their cuts in slower growth areas like Xbox, it's aligning with their market shift away from traditional gaming hardware and sales. What helped create this? DEI and terrible gaming. Their end product for all this in the gaming world is selling games, and they weren't able to sell games nor continually grow their Xbox Game Pass. Why? Probably because of bad games. And the average person doesn't have the time. You know, I get so much stupidity. Well, I am. I can afford it, and I pay for it because I just want to play this game or that game. Well, you know what? You're too stupid to realize you're better off buying that single game. Because by the time you play all the games you want to play, that latest game is going to be 2 years from now before you can actually play it. There's a trend that people will buy a game, then it'll sit on their shelf for 2 years before they get to it. People are just too stupid to realize the reality. Microsoft is screwing Americans over with the H-1B firing 9,000 and 14,200 requests over the last few years for H-1B. 45% of those jobs are tech entry or middle layer jobs, meaning they're not the rare jobs that they can't find qualified Americans. And DEI, this is a self-inflicted wound. Unveiling Blizzard's Diversify Shift, the 2017 LGBTQ Council revelation. So I read a post by Grums, they call him. Used to work at Warcraft, not older guy, but, you know, he's been around for a few years, a few decades. And he's like, yeah, I think they were doing a diversity thing. And somebody pulled up an image of a memo. And there was a 2017 internal Blizzard memo that revealed an LGBTQ council advising on all projects. It was surprising. But it made sense. When the council is formed, you no longer look at that council, the advice. Those councils will dictate, you have to do this, have to do that, have to make this, have to do that. DEI crap. Racism crap. Bigotry crap. Shoving transgenderism down your throat crap. Why do they do all that? They demand it, say that's what you have to do to survive and succeed? Because they want to keep their jobs. And they say, nah, y'all don't need this. That council will eventually go away. So they push equity and belonging. Yet a contrast with a 2021 California lawsuit alleging workplace discrimination. So what they're doing is they're discriminating by saying, well, you got to hire all these types of people. They're going to help you create the better world game. No, you don't need this white tech. You need a brown tech. Well, he may not be qualified. Or you need an LGBT tech. Well, they may not be qualified. The only one qualified is this white tech because there are issues with the education process of public schools that are preparing these brown and black kids. I'm speaking from experience here and research and working as a teacher's aide. So instead of looking at the root of the problem to help solve that, they're like, no, just hire the person who's not qualified. And then it creates the par gains, buggy, et cetera. The bugginess is starting to go south for these companies, massive bugs. It affects sales too. So the whole point being is unqualified people are being given jobs, unqualified messaging is going to the games, and Blizzard went along with this in 2017. And then there's a lie. There's American Psychological Association report. That's a lie. It says that all this stuff boosts innovation by 20%. Peer-reviewed studies in the journal Organizational Behavior said no, that's not true. Forced diversity without cultural alignment reduces cohesion, and that will impact your game quality. The Games Radar Plus did an audit. It highlights only 83 of 179 games from 86 to 2018 included playable queer characters because nobody wanted them. It had nothing to do with they were diverse. Just nobody wants those characters. And they use those studies to help us see you have to have diversity. Nobody's asking for those characters. And as a parent, they don't want them in there because like it's my job to talk to my 12-year-old kid about that, not yours. Now, Blizzard has 2023 diversity and inclusion goals, but as we've seen, Blizzard's doing layoffs too. They're being hit hard too. They're talking about equity and diversity, but they're going to be sued too. Remember that 2021 California lawsuit. These lawsuits are starting to come hard and swift. Now, all the pro-leftist groups support them. But the most important group, the people that buy their crap, don't. And they're all feeling the pinch. The collapse of traditional gaming journalism. Good news. Kotaku, a very racist, bigoted magazine. White self-loathers. Black races. Brown races. I covered all this. Oh, they couldn't generate sales because they were so racist. They would sit there and call you racist, tell you don't buy this game. Don't buy that game if you don't believe what we do. Don't buy our magazine. Well, people didn't. They were sold for pennies on the dollar. Why audiences are turning to influencers for authentic reviews and gameplay over content, shape, marketing deals. Meaning Blizzard will throw down $30,000 in advertising for a month, $300,000 over 4 or 5 month period as the game gets ready to come out for favorable reviews or great interviews. I saw this done in the fantasy sports industry. It happens. People who say it doesn't, they're lying. They're just flat out lying or have no clue what they're talking about. Now, my issue isn't black or brown. It's the racism in general. Racists are in every culture, every group. Bigotry is in every religion. It's up to us to make sure it's all fair across the board. There's no white racism, brown racism, black racism. bigotry in religion, from this religion to that religion. But yet, that religion isn't hating on this one. They will say it publicly, like anti-Semites do. So Kotaku's editorial staff will remain. The company that bought it was Kaley Ops. They plan to hire more senior talent with no immediate strategy shifts, emphasizing human journalism. And that's nice and dandy. But gaming sites that push a woke agenda demagogue traditional fans by dismissing them and then blaming them for games' lack of sales are fueling their irrelevance. And if it stays woke, that's what will happen. And there's no saving it. And what's the trend? Well, the companies who do this, they find themselves downsizing and eventually forcing the sales. Polygon sold a few months ago for the exact same reasons. And they're sold at a fraction of their value because they're promoting DEI nonsense. DEI in hiring, DEI themes in their games, and it's driving backlash. We know. It has nothing to do with racism. It's like we don't care for your message. We accept gays, but we don't accept transgenders and men and boys in girl sports. We don't accept you teaching them to our kids. That's a parent's job. There's a shrinking audience for Kotaku and Polygon that was sold a few months earlier. A few months earlier than now. Now, them keeping the staff and hiring more talent with no immediate changes, boy, that's a big change from the industry struggles. Successful cases of this are rare and outliers. More failure. And they will fail if they don't sit there and decide to be fair and objective. But they're going to chase the dollar, the marketing dollar, which means they will probably fail. Gaming journalism has a pattern of dismissing traditional fans and then scapegoating them for games' poor sales. That's a big driver in their decline. It's a frustration that's echoed across online platforms and gaming communities. That's the market reality. What we have here is a forced sale of another woke-leaning site like Kotaku for pennies underscores a failed model. You don't promote DEI and games and blame-shifting that will alienate audiences and thinking you're going to win the battle against influencers who now control the market. It's just not going to happen. Learn from this, but I don't think they will. The new ownership won't. Or maybe they're just saying that they're going to do whack and bring in unbiased. They're going to whack the current staff and bring in new staff that doesn't do biased reporting or send biased messaging. All right, let's close this out with World Day UFO. So World Day UFO was celebrated a couple of days ago, July 2nd. It was established around 2001 to honor the 1947 Roswell incident, and then there were some June 24th UFO sightings as well. And it sparked global awareness of unexplained aerial phenomena and inspired events like the International UFO Museum's annual UFOlogist Invasion. And it reflects the modern-day interests, and that was boosted by a 2017 New York Times report that revealed a $23 million U.S. defense program studying unidentified aerial phenomenon. They don't want to call it UFO. That was one of the plans of these people. Well, we can't use the term UFO. We got to legitimize it. UAP, unidentified aerial phenomenon. Same thing. It's UFO, unidentified flying object, whatever. Now, what are some of the government actions with the UFOs? I got to toss in my political bent. Well, there was Cold War disinformation campaigns that was exposed in the 2025 Wall Street Journal to conceal projects like Area 51 stealth tech. And that's fueled conspiracy theories with legitimacy about the UAP and the congressional hearings, which at one time would have been seen as fringe, but now they're having congressional hearings. And those hearings talked about the 2004 FLIR and 2015 Gimbal video releases. Those were with the Tic Tacs that you see, the black and white films. And those are black and white like that because they're not cameras for like smile or let's get a Academy Award here. No, they're base ones for heat. And so they're different types of cameras for different types of military missions. That's not typical of what people expect Hollywood. Now, is this disinformation by the government? They have been known to do it. Why? Because they're still pushing. They don't exist. In 2021, a NASA study found no alien evidence. And that contrasts with the public belief and the surge in UFO/UAP hearings. So there's something that's happening. There's some truth being withheld. There's an emerging collision between UFO culture and politics. That's where you're starting to see hearings. Even some of the politicians on the outside looking in, they want to know. There's global interest. We do believe that the government here and the governments worldwide may know more than they reveal. But why, we don't know. That's what remains unclear. And raising the possibility that we're nearing contact, a potential moment that could redefine our view of everything from the universe to religion, is seen as one big barrier to why these governments aren't honest. It could be more nefarious, but something's happening. Governments know more than telling us, and the question is why, especially as UFO culture collides with politics. Time will tell if we're nearing contact, gazing at the sky for the first time with new eyes. It's not what is out there, it's who's out there. And there you have it, my friends. That's our show, people. Keep calling out Twitch's hypocrisy on Hassan Piker. Understand, or Hassan Habib, as they like to call him, understand the importance of knowing what your kids are listening to, the games you're playing, and demand truth from the UFO cover-ups. Before I go, don't forget to bookmark grumblingsmedia.com and follow us on YouTube, Rumble, Apple, and Spotify under the handle Grumblings Media. I'm William Del Pilar for the Red, White, and Rude podcast. Stay rude, folks. Keep questioning the narrative, and we'll be back with more truth next week.